70% of immigrants come here with a couple hundred dollars, and within a few years they're middle class. And then you have this 30-year-old person who's like, I have to live with my parents. I can't afford anything. You're lazy. Period. You're lazy, you're making excuses, and you're being a whiny little bitch.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hey guys, good morning. It's a beautiful morning to be frugal and thrifty. And we are here for another fun and insightful episode of None of Your Business. I have a guest that I really enjoy hanging out with, that's in quotes, on social media because he posts a lot of insights about frugality. And it's just, all of his insights about it just sound really real. You know, we have seen a lot of people on social media who go the opposite way and post lavish lifestyles and post trips and excessive consumerism. And I thought that when I saw one of Eric's, our guest today, posts, it was just so refreshing, so real. And as a girl who grew up poor in a poor country, it was definitely good to see that spending money and being extravagant is not really the thing, you know, and there's so much more than that, even if you're trying to look a certain way on social media. So our guest today is Eric Ridenour. He's currently separated from his family. They have this very special situation like mine. We're waiting visas to move back to the USA. So he is working on his business throughout the day. And then on his pastime, he shares his thoughts on social media. So he's a self-employed professional, and he moved from Peru, where he lived almost 10 years. He's now living in San Antonio, Texas, and we're very, very happy. Welcome, Eric. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I am good, and I'm super excited to dive on our topic. I remember our first interaction was you sharing some like frugal tips on social media. That post got a lot of love and hate, no? So we'll talk about that, but that really stuck with me. So yeah, first of all, tell us about your story and maybe a little bit of background on how you started in business.
Basically, I was in Peru and was an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got married, had kids, it just wasn't cutting it. I mean, it paid decent, better than most people get paid. But I needed to do a bit more. And so I started just freelance writing on Upwork, like a lot of people did. And then one thing led to another. Somebody asked me if I could do some social media posts. I said, sure. Then got into marketing, just kept learning, kept doing more. Now I have a full digital marketing business, basically.
That's so awesome. And that hits home because how I started in the digital marketing world was also writing articles and being in the Philippines. I think I was getting paid like $1 per 500 words, but I typed so fast. And so I would still make like really good money for the day just because I typed really fast. So good old days. I also taught English to Koreans before. So that was also a pretty fun side gig. We have a lot of alignment there. So can you tell us a little bit about that post of yours that kind of blew up and how did people react to it?
I don't really remember it much anymore, but I basically, the whole gist of it was that how I live off of $1,500 a month in expenses. And everybody took that all kinds of ways. And half the people were like, oh, you're broke. You only make $1,500 a month. No, I spend $1,500 a month on myself. I send a couple thousand dollars to my wife and kids in Peru. I'm paying for attorneys and I'm still saving over $1,000 a month. I'm making pretty good money. I'm just not wasting
It
it.
seems like
And
people, go on.
some people just couldn't process that. They're like, well, no, you must only be making $1,500. And I'm like, no, I'm just not blowing every penny I make every single month. And they're like, and just some people just couldn't understand that. And I'm like, you know what? You're the same people who say, oh, I can't afford a house. You know, I can't afford a car. Everything's so expensive. Everybody's out to get me. And I'm like, well, no, you're just wasting your money. And they're like, you're trying to make me like the bad person because I'm not stupid with my money. Just because you're an idiot doesn't mean everybody's an idiot. Sorry, but you know how I am. I'm just, I say it how it is. And
Exactly. You're from Texas.
Oh,
Oh gosh. Yeah, it's for first of all, people on social media are fucking stupid sometimes. Like you repeated yourself so many times that I'm not saying I make 1500. I'm saying that is my budget and I'm sticking to it because it's the smart way to go.
yeah, at that time, I was making about 5,000 a month after taxes.
Right, and that's a very good income. That's a after taxes, that's a very good income. And people, first of all, are being stupid. And number two, it seems like they want to shame you for good decisions.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is like I'm not even living a crappy life. I'm not struggling, like I take the bus to work. Okay, I walk 5 minutes down there. I got to get my steps in anyway. You know what I mean? The bus trip is 40 minutes. Taking a car is 25 minutes. It's 15 minutes different. The bus drops me off a block away from where, because I bartend at night, by the way, which after doing this, it drops me off, a block away where the parking lot is 5 blocks away. And, whenever I need a car, I go rent one. And I've rented one for like, I generally rent one for like 7 to 10 days a month. It costs me like $200 or $300. And that doesn't even cover insurance if I bought the same car. So I don't see a point to it,
It's so interesting, and there's a lot of benefits to commuting. Actually, first, you're not driving. So, like, you can spend that time doing something else, reading a book, listening to a podcast, even meditating. And for people who have been in countries where commuting is comfortable and honestly conducive, like Singapore or something, some people just don't have any idea, and they're so imprisoned that driving is the only way to go.
Well,
When I, yeah.
like I have one of my clients is a medical spa, and it's like 45 minutes by car, 2.5 hours by bus.
Wow.
And I have this, I bring my laptop, and I work on the bus. So,
So, like, I don't know if this has happened to like my listeners, but honestly, I've had moments where I was driving and my mind was just so cluttered that I'm not thinking, like, I was just on autopilot. And there was one time I almost got into an accident because I just drove into a four-way stop and I should have stopped. And I stopped in the middle. People were honking, and I felt like I just woke up out of. I felt like I was sleeping mentally. And after that experience, I realized, you know what? If I'm not feeling it, I'll just Uber. And then that started like, you know what? I need to be more mindful of my decisions. One way is not always the way to go. But in the States, it's a driving culture. So there's such a big driving culture that for me, when I left the States and I moved to Playa del Carmen, Mexico, where there's a walking culture. I didn't own a car for 2 years, and then I just took a cab everywhere I want, and I realized I was fine, just like you, I was getting my steps in, and it was really nice. And so beyond like being frugal, right, it's also being mindful. It's being mindful. What do you think are people's, where do you think are people's feelings coming from when they, like, where are these strong feelings coming from? Like, some of the people were just really disagreeing with you, almost like they want to like argue.
Well, one thing that's funny is I also have a master's in psychology, and one thing I
Yeah,
noticed
good.
is most of the people who were arguing about it, they were projecting their guilt.
Exactly.
They know they are wasting money. They know they're like, I saw a couple people I'm like, that were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you cuss a bitch. I know you.
Yeah.
You sell Avon and spend your husband's money, and you're talking about how broke I am. And I'm like, you're broke. I'm not. I'm spending less than what I earn. That's it. And like, guess when my when what my point is when my family gets here, I'm buying a house.
Right,
I'm
right.
furnishing that house. I'm buying two cars, and it's going to be in about a year. I'm going to have a lot of money set aside, not touching my savings. Haven't touched my save my retirement, and I'm not going to. And in a year, I'm going to buy a house, have it furnished, and have a couple cars.
Yeah.
And so I hear, and this is one thing that you talk about from being in the Philippines and struggling, like something like I can't remember the numbers, but something like 70% of immigrants come here with a couple hundred dollars, and within a few years they're middle class. And then you have this 30-year-old person who's like, I can't, I have to live with my parents. I can't afford anything. You're lazy. Period. You're lazy, you're making excuses, and you're being a whiny little bitch. And straight up, like I knew a guy who moved from Syria a while back. He got a hookup from a friend who sold him one of his liquor stores. And said, you can pay it back. He paid it off in 3 years. He worked open to close 6 days a week. He lived in a mattress in the storeroom in the back of the liquor store. I'm not saying do that, but he paid that off in 3 years. This was 8 years ago. The guy now owns three liquor stores. He doesn't work. He is really on his yacht in Dubai. And he makes like $300,000 a year. Less than 10 years after showing up in this country, doesn't have a degree. He's not a doctor, and the guy hadn't. I mean, he granted he got hooked up by a friend. I'm not going to discount that. Where, but he probably could have still done that. It might have taken another year of working in a liquor store, coming up with 10 grand down, getting a loan. You know what I mean? And he still would have done it within 10 years. And like I said, in a year, like I said, not touching my savings. I'm gonna buy a house. People are like 25, 35 years old. They're like, oh, I can never afford a house. When I buy that house, I'm still not gonna touch my savings. I'm gonna do it within, a year or two. I'm gonna furnish it, do all that. Why? Because I'm not wasting my money. And people, this joke about the avocado toast thing. Oh, well, if you stop buying avocado toast, that's something that really pisses me off. Yes, stop buying fucking avocado toast. It's true because sure. Oh, well, it's $10. What's $10? Well, the problem is you buy coffee twice a week, or most people, a lot of people do it on the way to work every day. Brew your coffee at home. Oh, I only do avocado toast once a week. Okay, that's $40. You do coffee 2 days a week. That's another $40. That's $80. Right there, it's only $80, but you compound that $80. Just throw that money, not even a penny more from when you're 18 to when you retire. That's like $300,000 or $400,000.
Yeah, exactly. But
And
people can't do math.
that's just a little bit of money, And
Yeah.
so, you put, I'm putting over $1,000 a month aside, ideally 2,000, but sometimes things don't go as planned, but it can be done. And so it's the most ridiculous thing when I see people saying, well, I shouldn't have to take the bus. I shouldn't have to rent a room with roommates while at the same time complaining about not being able to afford a house. You can, you don't want to. And I took the lessons I learned living in Peru about being, because that's how everybody survives. We all cook our own food. I've got beans that are soaking. I make them for like a week. I buy bulk foods, and I plan my meals. I don't go eat out in restaurants. I don't do, well, I do Uber Eats like once a week, but and I'm still living okay. I'm not suffering. I'm not eating, dog food. I'm eating really good.
Right, really healthy, actually. Whole
Yeah,
Foods.
I'm building a gym in the spare room. I've got a curl bar and extra weights coming today or tomorrow, because I'm not doing a gym membership. I bought an exercise bike, bench press, a few things, and it's going to end up costing about the same amount as a gym membership for about a year, but I have that equipment for life.
And if you do decide to leave it in the house for the next, you want to upgrade, then that's just additional value. I think that some people, first of all, people online are such complainers, right? They love to complain. And I don't know if this is real, but you tell me. It's like, is it true that Americans love like complaining about like money? Like this is expensive, this, like taxes and things like that. Like related to money.
Kinda. I think it's more younger people, and I'll be straight up. Yes, you have it harder than generations before. Boomers had it great. They did. But there's two solutions to that problem. People say, oh, but you can't do it today. No, I showed up here with 3 grand. I spent 2 grand buying a bed and a desk and a computer. So I spent 650 on rent. I came here with a job, so I basically had, like less than $500 to my name when I got here. And so people are like, oh, well, you had it better than we did, this and that. And I guess I got the background of my degree, which I already have, and it's already paid for. But it's been 4 months. I've got a furnished place. I've got thousands saved. I've paid off an immigration attorney, and it's been 4 months. I'm already doing better than half
You're
the,
already up.
20-year-olds who have been, grinding for 2 years, and I've been here for 4 months. And so I forgot where I was going with this, but I hope I answered the question.
I think the each culture has their own way to treat money, right? I also see bad habits that we Filipinos do with money, Mexicans do with money, the Mexicans I meet here. And I think that each culture has a good and bad way, good and bad like ways to handle money. But I think that in general, like because American media and the American way of thinking is kind of loud or very exposed to the world because of social media, because social media users, things like that, it just gets more like obvious. From my experience, one of the things that I hate what people do is when people think that you're like moving to wherever you're moving because you're being cheap or you're trying to save money or something like that. And so I remember in the past, like this has been going at probably for 10 plus years, on social media, when people move to countries with a lower cost of living, like Thailand, Philippines, or
Peru.
Vietnam, Peru, Mexico. Well, actually, these countries closer to the States are now getting more and more expensive. Like places like Thailand, Bali, for example, Bali's pretty affordable if you compare it to the States. That they automatically assume that you're broke or you're being cheap or things like that, but they miss the point of like the quality of living that you get from places like those, the communities that you have, and also really like the richness of their cultures too. So that is my pet peeve when people just assume that. Like I remember my partner and I had like a literal mansion in Thailand, and the rent was like 2,500 a month. And it had like full-time help, and we lived very like healthily. We ate well, and then but then people were always saying that, oh my God, you're just doing that to save money, but like we're very happy and healthy here. Like, what else can I ask out of life? I'm happy and healthy. Like, it's sometimes people just overthink the wrong things. So, have you always been frugal? I'm curious. Or
I've always
you
been
also made
broke.
some stupid. Oh, yeah.
I grew up poor. My
Okay.
parents did well. My parents were cheap. But I also moved out when I was 17. I finished high school while working part-time at Taco Bell. And to be honest, I sold drugs to make ends meet, at the time. And after that, because I was on my own, my parents didn't make good money. I didn't qualify for financial aid. I went to college while working two jobs, and basically clawed my way up. So I basically, all I do is now my biggest problem is taking some of those bad habits and trying to, because there's bad habits involved with growing up that way as well as good. You learn to be frugal, you learn to not waste money. But now I'm at a point where I'm actually making decent money, and I still take some of the bad habits with me. Like I'll buy like some bananas and they'll start to go bad, and I'll eat like all five of them.
Because you
Just so I,
don't
because I don't want to waste the food.
want to waste it. Oh my
And
gosh, that's
it's
funny.
actually led to me gaining some weight. I've gained, like, especially since being in the
Oh.
USA. So I got here, I'm like, oh, Taco Bell, I haven't eaten there in 15 years. Oh my. And I eat it, I'm like, ah, it's terrible, but still I do it,
Yeah.
but I have anxiety
Nostalgia.
about about food going bad, so I will eat it all. And I'm like, I need to teach myself that, dude, you can just throw the food away.
Throw it
It's
away.
not a big deal, and I won't do that, Well, I do it, I'm getting better at it, but I still won't always do it,
Well, I'm gonna remind me to send you a good banana cake recipe, okay? So when the bananas go bad.
No, I stopped buying bananas when I got here because I bought them a couple of times, and they're not the same as Peruvian bananas. I've been spoiled, so
Oh,
I can't
tropical
do the
country
bananas there.
fruits. Yeah, tropical country fruits, they hit different. They have to
Yeah.
be where they grow. Yeah, you just made my mouth water thinking about the mangoes in the Philippines.
I can't do bananas here. I've bought the organic ones. I bought the cheap Walmart ones. I went to the farmer's market and they're just
Nothing
not
hits
cutting
the
it. I
same.
don't do it anymore. Yeah.
I'll just buy the banana protein powder. That's
Yeah.
that's probably the healthiest banana thing there. Oh, that's so funny that you share that. For me, oh my God, my husband always makes fun of me for this, but I still take the little shampoos from the hotels,
Oh, so do I.
and then my husband be like, babe, that's shampoo, and then I'll be like, well, we paid for it, and then I would say things like, obviously it's an excuse, like, but also we're traveling and it's always nice to have these little bottles when for when I go overnight.
And it's so absurd because, like, when I do splurge, because you were asking me earlier about like what do I splurge on, like I'll go to like a $500 a night, Marriott Heritage Hotel, and I'm jacking a shampoo. They're like, oh, here's your complimentary bathrobe, Eric. Here's your butler service, and I'm like, shampoo,
That. I love that.
conditioner,
You're there
soap,
with your pump bottle. You're there with your funnel. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, during the pandemic, I stayed. You remember during the pandemic when they were making people quarantine in hotels, and then you have to sleep at this hotel for at least 3 days because you need to get tested when you land. You have to stay in this room for 3 days. And I stayed at this hotel, and their shampoo was a designer brand. I think it was Cavalli or something, or Armani, some designer. And I'm like, well, I'm taking all of this. And I kept calling housekeeping, hey, can you refill my shampoo? It was just like my little treat,
Yeah.
yeah. So that's so funny. But you're right. It's like there are things that we need to unlearn from like growing up poor, and maybe to process in therapy, right? But at least now we're more mindful that yes, we don't have to do So,
Yeah, like when I was 18, I would go into like Taco Bell and like I'd grab all the sauce, go use the restroom, steal the toilet paper. That's what I
it's
did.
Taco Bell. They need the toilet paper.
I'm
How
not
dare you?
that bad anymore though. I got rid
Yeah, you're gonna get sued after this one by Taco Bell.
of.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my sisters and I would have this contest of who can take the most from the hotel. And we would take sugar packets, ketchup sachets, toilet paper, and things like that. So yeah, it's very funny. And at least, it was like a positive childhood memory because we were kids and we were just like playing a game. One thing on a more serious note, one thing I want to share that I think that a lot of our listeners will also share the sentiment that one of the things that I really make an effort on as a habit when I was four that I'm really, really trying to not do now is waiting to pay bills. And so you remember, like when I was four, and I'm sure you remember this too, like that feeling when you get a bill and you're just immediately stressed out. And it's like an electric, it's like a bill that you expect.
I now pay mine immediately because like they're
Yeah.
online and my problem is I'll sometimes pay them twice before like I'll pay it too early and they're like the bill, because like some
It's
like
negative.
a credit card is like if you pay more than 2 weeks they apply it to the old balance and I end up having to pay twice, but
No, yeah, exactly. So I do that now. I immediately like pay a bill and then I kind of send a little message to the universe that this is how I affirm that I feel safe where I am financially. But boy, that habit stayed with me for a very long time, and I really struggled with it. Even when I was making good money, I would still delay paying for certain bills like I didn't have money. So I think some of our listeners can relate to that. So let's share some of our stupid money decisions in life and business so that our listeners can learn from it.
there's one.
Do you want to start or
My
yeah, what's
$1,000
that?
watch. My $1,000 watch. I've got eight
Ooh.
of
Oh
them.
shit, not just one, but not just one, but eight. Is that your
Actually, I've
vice?
got 10, but still.
Is that your vice? You like watches.
When I first started making good money, I went through this crazy phase where I was like on eBay, on like watch websites, hunting them down, and I
Nice.
bought like 10 in a year.
Same. Wow.
I had to stop
Yeah.
when my wife found out. I
Yeah.
was like,
Oh my
no,
God.
it was cheap. I got a good deal. And she's like,
That's
okay.
like
She's
a
like,
lie girls say.
what do you mean by good deal? Well, it's a $3,000 watch and I only paid 800.
She was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, wear a Timex, you dumbass. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, now I've got plenty, so I can switch them out. Now my
You're
problem
good for
is
the rest of your life.
there's always a battery going out. So like I'm going to the watch place like once a month to switch out batteries, but
Oh, that's funny. For me, one of my most like stupidest money decisions is buying a brand new car out of impulse. So I remember, I love that car though. I love that car, but I remember seeing this car at a display at a kiosk. They were like special mortgage promo, car loan promo, and very, very low down payment, and the color was just awesome. And for some reason, that day I had my checkbook with me. I think I did something in the bank and I had my checkbook with me. And right then and there, I just like paid the down payment. It was so stupid because obviously cars depreciate in value. And then the more stupid part of it was I actually left the country after 6 months. So I literally gave this brand new car to my sister. And so it's just like a double whammy. But I also learned from that experience that there really is no reason for me to buy a new car ever. Like, when I first got to the States, I had secondhand cars and I loved them. I loved them really, like, as much as I love that brand new car. And then not having car payments is just a great kind of there's a great sense of freedom from that, so I'll definitely never do that again. What about you? What are your thoughts on that or any other
Oh, I had a
stupid?
much worse one.
Oh,
We used
perfect.
to
I love
go
this.
to Cancun every year,
Oh,
since
I
you're
live
in the
here.
area.
Yes,
And Palace Resorts.
yes,
Have you
yes.
been there?
No, but I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, we went and stayed there every year for 3 years.
Wow.
And they were always trying to hit us up for the membership. And we went 3 times. And I was like, you know what? This is really nice. I think, let's go talk and see what they have. I dropped 25,000
Wow.
on their membership. We went back the next day and it was so bad. So bad because they're like, okay, now that we got your money, screw you. They refused to give us any service, any help. I wrote a big old rant about it. Worst
Right.
financial decision I ever made. Everybody warns you about do the timeshare things.
Right.
It's so bad. I've already paid for it. I've got like 5 free trips that I can take. I'm not going back.
Oh my God, really? Maybe
I'm not going back.
I can pretend to be you and I'll just go drive there right now.
You don't want to. It was so bad. I was like, dude,
Yeah.
I am less stressed out and I enjoy myself more working.
Oh my God.
It
That's
was
horrible.
like, I don't drink. By the fifth day, I was drunk by 11 a.m. I just couldn't do it anymore. I'm like, I can't, like they just wouldn't do anything at all for us. Like, oh, here's your special member. You have a special line for members. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, and we give you champagne when you get here and all this stuff. And like when we checked in, there's like 10 agents at the new people. Nobody was there. I'm like, hey, oh, well, they're on break, show up in 30 minutes. I'm like, we're here with our luggage. They're like, you offered us drinks and everything when we get here. Oh, just go to a bar. And I'm like, and that was, it went downhill from there. Like I paid for my aunts to come and they said, oh, we don't have any handicap rooms. They
Oh
had
my God.
plenty. So they put us on the second floor. My aunt's in a wheelchair. She's like 70 years old in a wheelchair. And the elevator broke right after we got up there. She was stranded in the room for 3 days.
Oh my
I was
God.
complaining, like, oh yeah, they're working on it, they're working on it, they're working on it. And when I finally threw a fit about it, they're like, oh, well, we'll just put her in a floor in a room on the one of the handicap rooms on the first floor. I'm like, one of the rooms you said you didn't have? And I'm like, how are we gonna get down? The elevator doesn't work. Oh, well, we'll get on that right now. And they went, turns out they were working on it 4 days earlier and they just didn't turn it back on again. It
My God.
was working the whole time. And I complained 2, 3 times a day, every day. They didn't bother checking.
Yeah.
They just ignored me. And like as we were leaving, they didn't give us our credits and they wouldn't let us check out until we used our credits. I mean, and the whole trip was this bad. They wouldn't let us use our credits and they wouldn't let me check out without using the credits because they wouldn't apply them. They refused to. They kept telling me to pay cash, for
What a
everything.
scam. Yeah.
But I couldn't check out. I ended up missing my flight. I missed a shuttle back, had to pay for my own taxi, had to rebook a flight just because, and their whole thing is that's not my problem. You already paid, screw you. And yeah, it, no. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So it's like they treated you very differently immediately as soon as you paid.
Once they had all that money, they didn't care about anything. They're like, what are you going to do about it? You already paid us for the next like 10 trips.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's insane. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry about that. I
Oh,
almost there are a few
that was
times I
my worst wasting money
It
decision.
is. It is. I can't beat you. I can't beat you. Yeah. For me, one of my, I think some of my stupidest money decisions was off of like being impulsive. I make decisions like really fast sometimes, and then I look back and like, oh, that was a really good decision. I've had some investments that didn't really ROI. Like if I could have put the money elsewhere, like in a better place or where it would grow faster. But it wasn't entirely a bad investment decision. It's just that I could have put the money somewhere else. So I think it would be there as well. And just like anyone else listening to this podcast, it's like I've also made bad crypto calls. I've also made bad stock calls. I've bought a bad IPO, like I learned all my lessons, right? And so
Yeah,
those
you
are,
have to though.
yeah, you have to. It's life tuition, my parents always say. It's life tuition. You always pay your way through life, and you always pay to learn these lessons. And hopefully, through this podcast, our listeners will not have to make all of those bad decisions, and they can pick one or two things here that I think the only bad decision that I support that you made is to buy all the watches, because I'm a watch person too. So your
That's
wife
not a
will
bad
hate this
decision. I
podcast.
can sell all of them and probably make my money back. So.
That's true. It could be an heirloom for your kids
That
too. Like that's really meaningful.
was how I
And
justified it to myself. I can sell them for what
exactly.
I paid for it.
Or even more, honestly, like Rolexes are now, still going up in value. It's very hard to get them.
They usually go up or stay the same, but they don't maintain with inflation.
So,
Because
I mean,
you can get like a 20-year-old Rolex for like $10,000 that cost 10,000 back then, and you can maybe even sell it for 11,000. But if you know what I mean, if you even just put that money in a savings account, you would have more of that. You know what I mean? You
So
don't
I
lose
guess
money, but
you pay,
they don't keep up for inflation.
you still pay the times that you enjoyed wearing it. Let's go with that.
Or if I put that 10 grand in the stock market, even just like a regular old basic index fund,
S&P
I would
500,
have more money now than I would if I sold all these, you know what I mean? So.
exactly. Yeah, no, or like if you and I bought like Amazon stock 10 years ago or something, right? Like instead of these watches, instead of my purses, instead of the purses I bought. So yeah, you're right, and that's a really important nuance to think about, because I also don't want girls to be like going to their husbands and like, oh, but Hermes and Chanel, they always increase every year, or like Louis Vuitton increase in prices. But there's a nuance there in terms of how it still doesn't catch up with inflation, and how you still have to really take good care of them. Like those nice purses have to be kept properly, moisture and humidity wise. So, ladies, if you're listening, learn about that if you want to keep your purses in tip-top condition, because you still want to maybe have the possibility to sell them in the future.
And
So,
it's still a gamble. Like, I
it
have
is.
a whole bunch of sports cards right behind me that 20 years ago were probably worth $20,000, $30,000, maybe more,
Wow, really?
which is now worth maybe 500 bucks.
Wow. Why is that? Sorry, I don't know how these
The
sports
market
cards.
just got too many people collected them. They were going up in value. Everybody started buying them and saving them. And now, even 20, 30 years later, everybody still has everything that they want because they all bought it a long time ago. And there's just so they were mass producing so many cards. And the same thing like Beanie Babies, for example, is a famous one. People were paying 10 grand for one on eBay that are going for like $5 now.
Oh,
So
interesting.
you never know. I mean, they can be worth money, more money, but they're not necessarily going to be worth more money.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, you're right. It's like the value of a collectible really is kind of like in hindsight,
It's
right?
just like investing in stocks. You win some, you lose some, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a lot better than investing in like a car, which is almost always going to go down, or buying clothes or dining out, you know. You're always going to lose there. You know, I've got all kinds of weird stuff. I've bought some antique swords.
Oh my God, really?
What else do I don't know. I've got a coin collection worth a lot of money. I went through a stamp phase where I just bought like thousands of stamps just because, like, as part of my portfolio, though. Like, I don't collect them. I don't really care. They're still in their original packaging. But like, if I die in a car accident, I want something my wife can throw on eBay that day and get the money without having to wait, 2, 3, 4 months for courts to give my bank account to her. You know what I mean?
Or your insurance,
Yeah.
yeah. No, that's very mindful, and I really appreciate that because I lost my parents early as well. I lost my parents in my 20s, and I'm a big like believer of insurance, but not just traditional insurance, but also like insurance like that, right? Like how to like smartly leave assets to the people you're leaving behind, especially if you are the breadwinner, which you are in your family, or if you have like people who are relying on you who are still young. Like I have a sister. One of my sisters is a single mom, and she has a niece. I want my niece to be set up, even if something happens to my sister, or even if my sister doesn't end up marrying a guy who can support her. So I definitely think about these things, and I think that that is also another motivation for us to really be smart about our money. So why do you think some people find it hard to be frugal, just like in general?
Because they don't want to.
They don't want to.
I mean, it's just, it's not, it just comes down to not having discipline. You're like, ooh, I want that. I want that. We're in like an ADD type of society. Oh, let me have it. I want it. And I get it. People want to be gratified. With social media and likes and stuff, it might be worse. I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to it, but
Insecurities.
people want, and the thing is again, the same thing with like us. You grew up Philippines. I spent a lot of time in Peru. People think they need so much stuff that they don't need. It's like, do you have clothes? Yes. Do you have a roof? Yes. Do you have food? Okay, then you're fine. You don't need a freaking Stanley Cup. Are you out of your freaking mind? How many other cups do you have?
Hey, that's insane. Eric, come on.
And it's, I don't know, it's always the jokes about like the Mexican mom is like, oh, we have Sprite at home, and but it's true. Why do you need a Sprite now? You can't have one in 30 minutes. It's no different.
Yeah, exactly. No, oh gosh, yeah, I'm partially guilty with that, and I totally agree with you. First, it's like social media giving you this illusion that giving you this little evil voice in your head that you should feel bad for not living as well as others. I think that's it. And then
And the thing is half of them are lying too.
exactly. And social media, like the word, it's media. This is information that is being fed to you without your consent. And these things shape how you think. And so if you're super exposed to these super con ads, like these TikTok influencers telling you gotta have this, you gotta buy this, don't miss out. And super talented marketers like you telling people to buy stuff, right? And so it's the normal person it has to be really mindful of what they're doing. And I think in general there's also a viewpoint of frugal people being poor or broke, or like just like a negative cloak on it. And I think that more people should praise people being frugal. And there is do you know that trend FIRE, like
Yeah.
financially independent, retire early, right? Most of these stories started out because they were being frugal. They even making 300K a year, 400K a year, they were still doing Ubers and like door dashing or something. They would like couch surf or something. Some of them were super extreme, but they were being really mindful with their money, and so they could retire at 40.
And one thing I actually really hate, which we haven't gotten on, you didn't even ask me about earlier, is I one thing that does a big disservice to this is you read those like Forbes stories and like Rocket Money stories of like how I bought a house and paid off, $50,000 in student debt in 3 years. And you read the article like, well, I lived with my mom, who paid me $10,000 a month to do the dishes. And when that wasn't enough, I sold some of my Apple stock that my grandpa got me. And it's really easy. I did it while working at Walgreens. I'm like, no, you didn't. I'm doing the math. I'm like, wait, so your parents gave you this much money. You sold stock that your grandparents left you. And I'm like, that's like $800,000, and you're talking about how you paid off $400,000 in debt. So you just blew 400 grand. Like, all these freaking articles talk about these totally elaborate things. Like, oh well, I was a programmer at Google, and my wife, whatever. I'm like, okay, you make $800,000 a year, and you're complaining about how you paid off $200,000 in debt in 3 years. And it's like they're, and I think they do it on purpose. It's like, it's such a freaking ridiculous story. Like, I pitched mine to a dozen people, and they're like, no, it's not realistic. I'm like, but having 1,000 shares of Apple stock and working at Google is realistic? Are you out of your freaking mind? It's like, I don't get it. But anyway, sorry, had to get that one off.
No, I empathize, and I totally get that. And of course, as someone who is watching on the sidelines of these people, it's like, well, that's not really it's funny because these stories are meant to be inspirational. It's meant to be he did it, you can do it too type of story.
But
But
they're
then
not.
it is the opposite. It is the opposite. And like we have these stories of like, oh, my wife worked like two jobs to support my dream of something like that. Or and some of them are still ridden with a lot of really like privilege. Like you said, some actually had inheritance that they can sell. And I had a friend who we were talking about like how we started our business, and then it was the time when people were sharing their difficult stories about starting their business. And then she said, oh, I actually started a business because there was this dying cafe or library that was really close to my heart, and I had to like raise the money to save it, and that was my first business. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a great story. And then turns out she sold the Rolex that her parents gave her for graduation. And like I'm not saying that it's not a good story. It is a good story. I
No,
loved it.
absolutely.
But I was also just like, well, we were talking about how difficult it was to start a business.
Yeah, it's like, those, oh, I got a small loan of $1 million from my dad to start my business. Good for you. I don't hate you. That's awesome.
Good on you,
But
yeah.
bro, you're not self-made, Oh, but I had to pay it back at 0% interest over 20 years. You know what I mean? To your dad. It's not the same,
So, I think that really the answer to this is if people that are watching, could just be more mindful, could just use their two brain cells and think, is this realistic? Is this advice really how it started? Because these stories really make you believe that if they can do it too, you can. But like, I don't have an inheritance. I did grow up in a first world country, or something like that. There's a lot of barriers. There's a lot of barriers to other people, and then people forgetting that most people are poor. Like for the rest of the
Everywhere.
world, everyone's paycheck to paycheck. Like most people are living like that. Like what was the saying? Even in America, 60% don't have like an extra $1,000 for an emergency or something like that. And a huge number of Americans would be bankrupt by one hospital bill or something. So,
Like, I remember there was this happened like 10 years ago, and I think it was on a Daily Show, and when back when Jon Stewart was on it the last time, so it was a while back, and he was making fun of Fox News because they said, oh, like 96% of families have a refrigerator, they're not poor, and like 80% have a microwave, you're not poor. And he's like, these are common items. And Jon Stewart was making, and at the time I was laughing. I'm like, yeah, that's so freaking ridiculous. Of course everybody has a refrigerator. Then I went to Peru. And no, like most people can't afford a refrigerator.
I didn't know that.
They go to the market every day, buy their stuff, go
Buy the food.
home, cook it, and whatever's not eaten by the end of the day goes in the trash because there's nowhere to put it. This is common in the rest of the world. And it's like in America, yes, to brag about, oh, you have a refrigerator, it sounds ridiculous. Oh, you have air conditioning. And people are like, oh, well, these are such common, simple things. Like, but they're not. You don't
Like
know
hot
how good you
water.
have it. The fact that you think having 24-hour a day water and a refrigerator is a given, I'm sorry, but it's your privilege to begin because most of the world does not have air conditioning or refrigerator or, you know what I mean, or microwave. Like, I remember when I first was dating my wife, I bought her parents their refrigerator, their microwave, and a coffee maker. And they had never seen a coffee maker. In Peru, that makes millions of pounds of coffee.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. I didn't know that.
And it's like, and this is what I love about living abroad for a while, is it gives you a new perspective. It's like, well, yeah, to an American, having a refrigerator is a given, but you really don't know how good you have it compared to the rest of the world.
No,
And
I totally agree.
I've learned to just appreciate those simple things, and that's what keeps me happy. I don't need new cars. I don't need these watches. I don't need any of it, but
Little treat. I don't need a chocolate cake, but I'm gonna have one today. So also your story is so funny. I had this friend who was like, oh my gosh, we didn't have hot water for 3 days, so I just didn't shower. And I'm like, you didn't have water? And she said, no, we didn't have hot water. And I'm like, well, you can still shower. And it was just like, for her, it was just like such a hassle to like shower with cold water. And it was so funny to me because growing up, I didn't have hot showers. Like I grew up, I would go to school at 6 a.m. and I would like have this cold shower every day as a kid. It was just my life. And it was when I went to the States in 2019 when I had like regular hot showers. And I like it. It's nice, but I don't need it. Like I could, if I go to a hotel or someplace and there's no hot water, the shower will be a little comfortable, but I'll be fine. So it
Yeah,
was just funny.
I used to joke with people all the time about, oh, you start your day off as a life hack to take a cold shower, in the morning as your business life
Biohacker.
hack, or as we call it in Peru, a shower. And you have it well in Peru now when most houses have a shower. Most houses don't have hot water. They sell for the rich people this electric thing you can plug in that'll heat the water that comes out of the tap, which
Oh, interesting.
terrified me. I'm like, I'm not getting electrocuted, but it's never happened. So, but my brother's wife, who lives there, I was saying, and my wife as well, having a shower is a modern luxury in Peru. When they were kids, they had, they built like tile bathtub type of things, and they just poured water in. And all the kids shared the water, cold water from the kitchen, which was the only sink in the entire house, and that's how they took their baths, and literally in a tub. That was it. That was the 80s in Peru. Now with their modern technology, they finally got cold water showers. So, it's perspective.
No, for us in the Philippines, we had a pail and a dipper
Yes.
because we also don't want to do showers because showers are wasteful. So you had the one dipper and then you pour in your body. And then we had a budget too. Like each kid, my parents would fill the pail and that's all you use for your shower. And so that's how I learned. That's why I take really fast showers. Like it's like I'm not a girl. I take like 5 minute showers. If I'm giving myself a treat, I do 10 minutes. But it's because when I pour that water the first time, I'm shampooing with it and I'm washing my whole body with it, and then I rinse, right? Because if you really think about it, what makes showers long is the repetitive rinsing, the repetitive washing and rinsing. You put your shampoo, you rinse, conditioner, you rinse, body, you rinse, wash your face, and then you rinse. So it's really the repetitive rinsing. And so it's funny how, you know, it really is, it really changes your perspective. And this is why I always will endorse traveling, staying somewhere else, actually living there, not just as a tourist and getting to know
That
their
that's
culture.
what I recommend people. I'm like, don't go to Cancun. Don't go to Lima.
Don't go to Cancun.
Go,
It is not real
don't,
Mexico.
like, if you can't do that, at least watch some Anthony Bourdain videos.
Yeah, that's a good
You
habit.
know, go hang out for like a month in some small town and, you know, get an Airbnb in a town like an hour away from a tourist area, live there for a month, come back and talk to me.
Yeah,
You know.
exactly. Yeah. And that's why we settled here in Playa del Carmen, an hour away from Cancun, because people actually, it's still a very touristy area, but not as touristy as Cancun. People live lives here. People have families. There's really good schools and it's more peaceful, things like that. And but yeah, I can't wait to see a lot other parts of the world. It's just really nice. And my husband also appreciated it the first time he went to the Philippines. We stayed there for 4 months, just how different things are. There were times when he said that, hey, well, I think we were about to land, and then he pointed at some houses, and then he said, wow, I think he said something like, wow, the airport is close to the slums. And I'm like, no, that's not the slums. That's just
That's
houses.
the
That's the airport.
airport.
That's just houses. That's just normal. But because the houses look different from the
Yeah.
houses in the States or in Canada, he was like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, like say something bad. I just really genuinely thought that it was the slums. And it just like made me laugh. But I'm happy because we get to continuously travel. And just like you, we don't have to do it very extravagantly. We also try to do these little hacks with our credit card points and things like that, booking on certain days of the week. So there's many ways to go about and have a very rich life in terms of experience without having to spend a lot. So let's talk about priorities. How did your priorities change as your life changed? Because of course that will dictate where your money goes.
When I had kids,
Oh, how many kids do you have? And
two,
when did you have your first kid?
about 8 years ago.
Okay. Oh wow. Okay. So your eldest is 8 now.
No, he's 12. I adopted him.
Oh, he's 12. Oh, okay. Oh wow. That's beautiful. So that's really nice. I can definitely see that that changes a lot of
And
things.
yeah, it's like now I don't need to just spend money for Eric today. You know, I gotta worry about later, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, it's not that hard when you have like a purpose that is bigger than yourself. And me too. My parents, my family, and my husband and I are planning to have a family next year. And so our priorities have definitely changed in terms of like how can we in the future work less and be with our kids more and spend time with our family. Obviously, it, you know, aging grandparents and things like that. So it definitely has changed. Very quick endorsement, and to our listeners, that is not financial advice. Can you share with us your top three best investments?
Top three best investments. First of all, index funds.
Okay, that's good.
That's the standard, you know, just easy money. It's going to go up. My savings account is with Ally, and it's 4.5% interest rate.
High yield savings account.
That's a great one. And even if you've only got $50 in there, it's 4.5% interest. You don't need thousands of dollars. It's not a CD. It's not a high yield, you know. So also besides like the index fund, you know, doing the obvious like the 401k, which I don't have, but you know, people should do those basics. What would be a third one? I don't even know. Oh, okay. This is kind of funny and weird. Well, no, actually, let me give you like three and a half. Another one is Let me
Your
get
only
it for you.
fans. Oh,
Yes. It's called Fundrise.
Fundrise.
It's a REIT app,
Okay.
and you can add to it, and let's see. Since September 2021, it has gained. Okay, well, September 2023 to March was a rough ride. But other than that, it's consistently giving me gains.
I love that.
And but since March, it's also been going back up again. So from September 21 to September 23, it was giving me, I don't remember, but it was about 10% returns, more or less, which is pretty good.
Wow, that's really good. That's really good.
Especially you can do that when you've only got like $50 in there.
Yeah,
And then
exactly.
September 23 to March 24, it went down 4%. And from there to now, it's up. I can't tell. Let's see. One percent more or less. So it's starting to trickle back up again. But
Interesting.
it's outperformed like almost anything. It never goes down. I was
Yeah.
telling you, over like 2 years, it was going up every single day, literally.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. And a third, which is probably bad advice,
Yeah.
but it's what I do every time, is whenever I see bad news and overreactions on the news, like I bought Bud Light stock the second the Dylan Mulvaney thing happened.
Is that the rainbow thing?
It was a, Bud Light hired this transgender
Oh,
person, and
yeah.
then like everybody stopped doing buying Budweiser. I waited 3 days, bought it, and then I sold it like a month later, and it was back at the same price that it was at before that happened.
Right.
And so I will I wait for bad news to come out, and I buy it on margin,
Yeah.
which is like, I can put in $10 and buy $100 worth of stock.
Yeah.
And then, but
It's on sale,
yeah,
basically.
it's like a 30-day margin,
Yeah.
and if it loses money, I gotta pay for whatever was lost. So
Yeah.
if it goes down another $10, I gotta pay $10. But
Yeah.
I have $100 worth, and so I do up to like 2,000. And so whenever you see bad news, the thing is the market always recovers. Whenever
Ooh.
and I love this about
Now,
the
this is good advice,
I
but not
love
financial
this.
advice.
I well. If
No,
you're
I just
gonna
had to say
do it with like 10 or 20 bucks a month. Yeah, it's not
it.
financial advice, but like this is
Yeah.
like 10 or 20 bucks, at a time, just to play with it and
Yeah.
have fun. But
Yeah.
whenever something in a culture war stuff is great.
Right. Or the Trump assassination attempt, for example.
Yeah, but I don't know how that would fit
Was
in.
big news.
Okay, but that was kind of a good thing for the market. You know what I mean? Like
Oh, really?
I bet you Truth Social probably went up in value. I haven't looked, but like whenever someone goes at like Disney, they're like, oh, what was that one? The Little Mermaid is black. Everybody's all mad. Stock will drop $2 or $3. Wait a day, buy it at the drop, sell it a week, 5 days later, because I bet you that's what all the banks do. They wait for this outrage to happen. The stock drops. They buy it all back up, which causes the price to go back up again. Because
Yeah.
they're all getting it at a discount. And it's worked for me every single time.
Right. Only every time.
It's the only thing
Yeah.
that's worked every time. And I've done it like half a dozen times now. And I make, a couple $100 in like 3 days every single time.
Yeah.
Just going to Robinhood, buy a
Yeah.
thousand dollars worth on margin. I paid a $100 deposit, resell it in a week. No, that's not true. There, the one time I literally basically broke even. I don't know, I might have lost a dollar or
Not
two or
bad.
made a dollar
Yeah.
or two. It was that this company that does homework help. I can't remember, but they had a bad quarter. They tried to expand, and they're like, "Oh, we did way worse." And it was all over the news for like 3 days, and everybody forgot. And I, oh, because of AI.
Oh,
You know
right.
that people aren't coming for homework help anymore. They ask, AI, and that was that. But I didn't lose money. I might have lost. I guess it was
I'm
marginal.
Yeah.
I either broke even, made a couple bucks, lost a couple bucks, but I didn't lose, you know. So anyway,
Yeah.
that's not financial advice, but it's something I do for fun.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that plan actually. I also participate as much as I could, like during the pandemic, when the pandemic really blew up, the first time it blew up, I had a business partner who was super smart, and he said, "Take all your money right now. If you don't need it in the next like 3 years, buy airline stocks and cruise ship stocks."
That's what I
And
did too. Yes.
yeah, and then I did it, and actually, it helped me buy my very first like condo that I could live in, that I put down enough down payment that I could just move in right away. So I've been investing in real estate for 12 years now, but that was my first condo that I just bought, and then I was able to move in right away, and then I even lived in it. So it was like a little triumph for me. And then some bad news. I tried to think of an angle, but of course I have limited exposure because I'm still a Filipino citizen, and so I'm limited to buying like Philippine stocks unless I open a different account to buy some of these. Yeah, so there's that. But I like that. I like that tip. For me, I agree with the index funds and all that. I do that as well. But I also like real estate, but it has to be done in a very like, you have to take advantage of all of the angles that you can. Like, for example, I majorly just buy properties that are close to, we have a different term for it in the Philippines, but it's basically like when you buy a condo from pre-selling, but they don't, but the buyer wasn't able to pay, like to continue the payments. So it's almost foreclosure, but they haven't turned over the condo yet. So in pre-selling, the pre-selling period in the Philippines is 3 to 4 years, and that's I've only bought either pre-selling or close to foreclosure. And then there was someone on the third year that gave up the payments, then I could just swoop in and take over that, buying a property now for the price 3 years ago, and then I'm so close to the turnover date, so I can rent it out. So, you know, in the States, you guys have a lot of really good deals in real estate as well. Are you familiar with this, or have you dabbled?
I was looking at just a couple months ago a house, but I'm still too new to the area. I didn't want to do it, but there was a house selling for $50,000. And I don't know, there was like a meth lab explosion in it or something. I don't know what it was, but it basically was going to take a couple years to fix it all up. And like the pictures inside, you can tell like they gutted the walls, ripped the copper out. And I'm like, okay, but I'm still researching that. That's definitely what I'm going to be doing, is finding a couple places like that that are abandoned, probably level it and just do it over all over from scratch. Maybe use the framing if it's fine, but yeah, that I'm definitely going to be doing that. We're getting one for ourselves and then one like a weekend fun project to do, to just kind of do it myself. But you mentioned that the COVID stock, and it's funny because when COVID hit, I bought 100 shares of Carnival,
Oh,
and
that's
it
awesome.
was like $6 or $8 a share.
Yeah.
And because I always wanted to get Carnival stock because I like going on cruises, and
Yeah.
when you own 100 shares, you get, priority treatment, discounts,
Oh,
things
there's
like that.
more
Which, like,
perks. Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah.
awesome.
So I was like, but it's not enough to like just buy 100 shares just to get your like $100 discount in a slightly larger room. You know what I mean? Because that's like $10,000, $15,000. But when COVID hit, I bought it for like $7 a share.
Oh my God, that's insane.
And now I just looked up, it's 1850. And I still have those 100 shares. So there's like, that's like 20 grand right now, I think, right? But I can sell it whenever. I knew they were going to go back up again. They're Carnival. They own like five brands. They weren't going anywhere.
It's
And
gonna
when we
keep
go
going
on a
up. Yeah.
cruise, we get the priority treatment, for being a
Yeah.
shareholder. So
Yeah, I
that's another
love
thing.
that.
Buy for two things at once. I do, when I do take an Uber, I have it tied to this app called Fetch, which gives you
Oh,
points towards gift cards.
yeah.
And also, Uber is tied to Marriott. So I link that to get Marriott Rewards points also.
I love that. I love that tip. Yeah, I do the same. I've had all I have all of the memberships, even with the specific airlines, like the airlines that my husband and I like taking. And so when you buy a flight, you swipe your card, so you get the card, credit card points or the miles, plus you get points in the airline to use, right? And so like things like that, plus you get access to the lounge and things like that. So we're in love with our Chase Sapphire Reserve because the points can be used for flights, hotel stays, and car rentals, like a lot. It covers a lot of perks.
I love my Marriott Bonvoy card. 3 times points in restaurants and groceries. And I've been a gold member of Marriott for like 3 years now. And I get 3 to 5 nights free a year,
That's awesome.
and they give you a free one for your birthday. It's
That's
just,
awesome. Better than the bullshit timeshare
Oh yeah,
that
after that, I told my wife,
Cancun
like, we're only staying in Marriott for the rest of our life because they're great. They treat me like a king. They're
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
here's your $80 4-bedroom suite, Eric, for being a gold member. That's
Yeah, and
like
like late checkout.
that
I love it when they do that.
everybody else saws like $400 a night. It's just
Yeah.
it's yeah Mar plug Marriott is awesome, worth every freaking penny. Get the Marriott Bonvoy card. It is
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I get
Marriott, if
nothing
you're
out of it,
listening right now, send Eric and I some points, okay? If anyone from Marriott
but
Corporate is listening, no, I love that. Yeah, I
what's funny is
recently.
I work for Hilton too, and
Oh,
I'm plugging
you're
Marriott.
cheating. You're cheating.
Oh,
I mean, Hilton's nice too. I love Hilton. I have the Hilton membership. I have IHG, but Marriott is definitely the one that I use a lot. I recently went to Vancouver, and I really chanced it, but I arrived at 8 a.m. in the at the hotel, and obviously check-in is 3. But I was just really nice, and I chanced it. I'm like, is there an available room? I'm really tired from my flight. Because I just got on a 9-hour flight and it was like 8 a.m. So I've been flying, at night. And then they were like, as a gold member or like a platinum whatever member, yes, you can check in right now at 8 a.m. It was insane. And those things really, really make up for the minute hassle of logging in your points and things like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
otherwise I
but
would have had to pay.
I am like Marriott all the way, ride or die. I won't stay anywhere else. It's just and people are like, oh well, that is not a waste of money. No, because they've also got the lower end. The Fairfield is owned by Marriott.
Yeah, Residence Inn, right?
Aloft.
Yeah.
We stayed in last time we were in Cancun, we stayed at the Aloft. I used I had 3 comp nights. I paid for two. It cost me like $100. And when you stay 5 nights, you get 2 more free.
Nice.
I stayed there for a week for like $107, I think it was.
Oh my God, that's insane.
And they have free alcohol, and it was on the in the hotel zone. Not an ideal hotel, but it was for $100. It was perfect. Right around the corner from Coco Bongo, or is that
Right.
whatever that place is? I can't remember. But it's
Yeah,
a great
the party
spot,
place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I love that. So, it's really like the mindset of being frugal, being mindful about money doesn't mean that you have to suffer.
No.
I think people should just stop thinking that. Yeah.
You just got to stop being wasteful,
Exactly. Like, for example, one of the healthiest and one of the actually cheapest things that you can do is eat at home and eat steak every day. If it's very easy to make a good steak. And a steak is very nutrient dense, probably 13 times more nutrient dense than kale. And it's filling, right? And you feel good afterwards. And if you buy, and that costs like what? If you buy that from the store, it's like what? $10 a meal. Really, like, plus it's a steak.
And if you time it right too, like I just I don't know if you saw that. I just put it on my social media the other day.
Right.
I had a Uber
I like
One.
that.
I use Uber One, and they sent me a 40% off coupon. So I order a bunch of groceries. I had to sit that
Yes.
they left the receipt. They're not supposed to do that. It cost them $107 according to the Sprouts receipt. I got organic, healthy, great quality
Yes.
food, and I paid a good t a $15 tip to the delivery driver,
Of
which is
course, yeah.
decent. And I paid $85. It would have taken me 30 minutes to drive there, 30 minutes to drive back, probably an hour to shop for everything. I sat here, working, making an extra
Right.
50 bucks. And it cost me $85, got delivered. So basically my groceries for the week cost me 35 bucks.
Exactly. And you get to
And
sit at home.
I got them delivered. I wasn't being
Exactly.
cheap, doing it myself to save money on the bus, whatever. No, I used Uber One.
Yeah, exactly.
And I
And
paid
you
less than
generously
your ass
tip.
did when you went to the store.
Yeah, and then you generally tip this hardworking man who was delivering it for you.
I actually don't even know
Win,
if that's
win, win all
generous.
over.
I don't know what people are supposed to tip drivers. I thought it was okay, but I don't
I
know.
think 15% is generous because they get paid already, right? And then it's just extra. I think 15% is reasonable.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of people and like, oh, I don't tip, or I only do 8, 10, 11% or whatever. So but I don't know what we're supposed to tip. I always ask
Yeah.
them and they don't say. So
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm being cheap, somebody in the comments or whatever, tell me what's better and I'll probably do it.
And
Because I don't mind tipping at
I'll
all.
block them. Yeah, no, I do that also. If I shared this in your post as well. I said I really don't use DoorDash, but if there's a promo, because they always send those notifications, right? And I got I bought like $85 worth of groceries for like $40. And same thing, I bought all organic. I bought like the nice cheeses and everything, and some of the snacks that I like, the healthy snacks. And I was paying like what? $19.99 prices.
Oh yeah, I mean I ordered feta, I ordered brie, I got some hummus.
Yeah. And I think the feeling of it a little bit being gamified, like us finding that promo, it's like finding an Easter
Yeah,
egg.
it's
It is
yeah.
an enjoyable experience, actually. I
That's
don't
exactly what
feel
it
cheap.
is.
Yeah, I feel like I won a roulette spin or something.
That's actually a great way to put it. You tell people make it a game that you're trying to win, and I don't know, someone should do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's all about perspective, right? So that's really it. And just like a lot of things in life. So okay, last question. Any particular tools or resources that have helped you with your budgeting or being frugal?
Not really. I have a bunch of budget apps that I don't use.
So, tip number one, use the budget
Let's see. Let me find a couple that I. No, I don't have. I got rid of them all because I don't use them. I use a Google Docs budget
apps.
spreadsheet, and I put in my limits. And then if I go over, I go under the next month, and I make up for it. I just use a Google Docs, but there's one app that like everybody loves. And I tried thinking of it and I couldn't think of it, but they just discontinued it recently. So, and I don't have them on my phone anymore because I never used them. So, but oh, Fetch, I guess is a good one.
That's
That's one I use. Yeah. Because I get things delivered all the time. And let's see, like Uber Eats, Under Armour, Walmart, Sam's Club, CVS, you order to get them delivered, and you get like, I mean, all you do is open that app, hit instead of you open your group, I just hit the fetch, and then I go to the one, and you get like 3, 4, 500 points, 1,000 points, something like that, which is not much. I've got like 25,000 points right now, which is good for like a $10 gift card somewhere. I don't know, that's not really a good tip. It's but.
Yeah, no, I mean it is some people probably don't know about Fetch. So it's awesome that you shared that. I was just looking at my phone to remember the exact app that I use, and it's called Money Manager. And when I was really budgeting, I was really wanting to see how much I'm spending on things because there's just months where you're like, why am I broke? Like, what's going on? And it's mainly because you're not monitoring your things. And so I really recommend that simple Google Sheet. Very nice and very simple. And I like the, and for big things too, big things in life. Like I would also recommend using a basic Google Sheet to track your net worth, track your investments, even once a month. And this is also the closest I could get to also financial advice. Whatever age you're on, if there's some people depending on you, write your will and update it every year if you can. And that's one of the best things that you could do because you don't know life, you don't know accidents, you could be perfectly healthy and something could happen. So I definitely endorse that.
And I also keep two bank accounts, personal bank accounts. I got a business account also, but I keep two bank accounts. All my money comes into one, and then I transfer my budget into Chime every month, and that's what I use.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
So,
that's great. That's great. I was writing it down, Chime. Okay, perfect. So, all right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for sitting with us. This has been an awesome conversation. We went over what I anticipated, but I loved it. I just
That's
really
all right.
enjoyed. No, I really enjoyed talking to you, and I didn't expect it. So, thank you so much.
And
I
I
know
got
people want to
one
find.
more thing.
Let's do
One
it.
more
Yeah.
thing for it. Because I was getting at this and I went off on a tangent earlier, is when we were talking about, people complaining about whatever. It's like you have two choices. I know things when you're young are harder than they've ever been. I know you're making less, things are costing more. I know that. I get it. I understand it. But there's only two things you can do about it. You can sit around and bitch about it, or you can do something about it.
Yeah.
Complaining about it is not going to solve any problems. You just have to do it. And you know what? Like, I shouldn't have to. You're right. You shouldn't have to, but you do. The
Yeah.
president is not going to come in and save you.
Yeah.
Corporations are not going to come in and pay you $50 an hour just because you deserve it. It sucks. It's unfair. But that's what you have to do. And you have two choices. You can complain about it and be broke your whole life, or do something about it and fix it.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know it's not fair, but
It is what it is. Yeah. Well, like you said earlier, no matter how tough your life is, someone always has it tougher too. And you have these fully able with complete limbs and complete senses, complete eyesight and everything, complete mental capacity, like no mental illness. And completely able bodies that are living in first world countries and they're still complaining. Like you're already sitting in a lot of privilege. Like I genuinely think just having complete limbs and complete senses is a major privilege because some people don't have that. And people are always complaining about life and how hard it is. Well, stop talking and start working, maybe.
It's not going to help the situation. Like,
It
we all get it. Life sucks and it's hard, but it's not going to change anything. Doing something about it will.
Exactly. Because these people, these millennials or Gen Z saying that, it's not the same. The people who were born in the 70s or 60s, that inflation doesn't like connect, like the money before is not, like it's much more expensive and harder now. But guess what? Your parents, grandparents, were all like your parents experienced the same thing, maybe saying the same thing to your grandparents, but that's
The
just what it is.
whole time I had that same mentality, I was broke. The whole time until I was about 40 years old, and I realized no one, seriously, because when you complain about it, you make excuses, you feel like there's nothing you can do, and you don't do anything and you stay broke. It wasn't until I actually read Jocko Willink's book, Extreme Ownership, and was like, okay, it may not be my fault, but it's my responsibility. And I need to do something to fix it because the government's not going to help me. My job's not going to help me. Nobody's going to freaking help me. I got to do it myself. And what do you know? I started making a lot more money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, sometimes it's like there's a lot of value in just shutting the fuck up and and work. Like, if I didn't have the skills that I have in the internet, I would still shut the fuck up and get a regular job and maybe Uber at night. And I would still do the
If
same.
you think you're gonna die broke, you're gonna die broke.
Yeah. It's
If
also
you
the
think you,
repetitive
if it,
affirmation.
if you think you're going to die rich, you might die broke. But you know, nobody who ever just gave up on life ever just you know succeeded because they never
Dude.
tried. So
Yeah. No,
anyway,
that's true. I
that was
love
one thing I
that.
wanted to get out. Sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. I think it's a very good closing. It's probably the best closing that we could have because I don't want people to think that we're just over here lecturing other people about what to do with their money. I also want them to know that it starts here. It starts in your mind. It starts with your belief and your perspective. Because if me, a poor girl from a poor country, also kept complaining and didn't believe that, if I just felt like, oh, the odds are stacked against me, blah, 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 like, then
Look,
I,
10 years ago, I was drunk constantly, living in a renting a room, well, kind of like now, but I didn't have any extra money, and it was everybody else's fault, and that's where I stayed until I realized
your
maybe it
fingers were
is, but it's
pointing
up to me to
the wrong
fix it,
way. Exactly. So extreme ownership. I love that you mentioned that book. That's a really good book and something that people should definitely pick up and learn a lot from. Okay, so I'm sure that people would love to follow you and check you out, maybe even if they want to work with you. How can they find you? Where do you hang out?
I don't. I shit post on Facebook, and that's all I do.
Find him on Facebook. I
I
will link his Facebook profile on the
don't do
show notes.
TikTok, Instagram, anything
He
anymore. I
doesn't
had them
dance on
all, and
TikTok.
it was just too hard managing it all, and I just don't care. You know, I've got my reputation well enough where mostly clients come to me, and so you know, that's it.
Thank you so much, Eric. This has been a super awesome conversation. And to all of our listeners, if you have any comments, feedback, you want to follow Eric, definitely hit him up. I'll link his profile on the show notes. And if you have any thoughts about anything we discussed here, drop it on the comments and I'll reply to every single comment. So thank you so much, Eric, once again. And I'll see you guys next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.